Hebrews chapter 3. And while you're finding your place there, we will have adult choir practice this evening at 6 o'clock. Everyone in the adult choir and who should be here at 6 o'clock this evening. And then the Bible Institute teachers meeting at 6:30 this evening. For all the Bible Institute teachers, right after choir practice at 6:30. Come back and bring somebody with you to service tonight. Pray for me. I leave tomorrow morning, going up to near Hagerstown, Maryland, for revival meeting all this week. And ask you to pray, Lord, give us a safe trip, and His will be done. And He'll bless the services. Hebrews chapter 3. I thought about all weekend preaching on something else, and then just really last night got to thinking about these things, and yesterday evening come on my heart. And I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture that's always kind of been a scary verse of Scripture to me, as some verses are. Some verses comfort you, some verses warn you, some verses put a fear in you. And this is one of those verses. It's verse number 13. And watch out for the 13s. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. I want to preach to you on sin just for a few minutes this morning, and how deceitful sin really is. We're living in a generation. Some guy wrote a book, I forgot his name right now, back in 1966, the same year the Satanic Bible was printed. He called it Situation Ethics. And before that time, America had always had a code of right and wrong based on the Bible. Situation Ethics said that something can be right in one situation, but be wrong in another situation, depending on the situation that you're in. It was just an idea back then, 30 years ago. Today, it's the basis of our society, situation ethics. Our society is no longer based on what's right and wrong according to the Bible. Our society is based on whatever's right for you is right, whatever's wrong for you is wrong. Situation ethics. But I want to tell you this morning, God's never changed His mind on what's right and what's wrong. God said something was wrong 1,000 years ago, it's still wrong now. God says something was right 1,000 years ago, it's still right now. You don't improve by avoiding the truth of God. You always get in trouble when you avoid the truth of God. Sin is deceitful. Sin promises a lot, but brings little. Young people, listen. Sin offers smiles, like they show it on the commercial and on the TV shows, but sin brings tears. Sin offers peace, but sin brings fears. Sin offers health, but sickness brings. Sin offers songs, but it never gets to sing. Sin offers doves, but ravens come. Sin offers heaven, but hell is its final home. Sin offers sun, but brings dark clouds. Sin offers life, but brings shrouds. Sin offers freedom as its friend, yet slavery is its really end. Success it'll boldly offer you, but poverty is in its last view. Sin offers silk, but bringeth clout. Sin offers in, but bringeth out. Sin offers rest, but it'll bring toil. Sin offers joy, but always brings turmoil. Sin offers health, but giveth need. Sin offers flowers, but it'll give you weed. Sin offers much, but gives lack. Sin offers joy, then makes it sad. Sin offers good, but brings bad. Sin offers truth, but error shows. Sin offers light, but darkness knows. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. The message is clear. Whatever you sow, you'll also reap. Our generation has not yet believed what God said about sin. Sin will cause you heartache. It's sin that cheated Adam and Eve out of their perfect home in paradise back in the Garden of Eden. When the devil said, Eve, you'll be better off if you eat that fruit. She wasn't better off, and the human race has been in a mess ever since because of sin. Young people, this morning, the devil will come to you and he'll say, you'd be better off if you'd do this. Think what you could have. Think what you could do. Think what kind of friends you could have if you'd do this or that. Think what kind of car, turn me up on this just a little bit. Think what kind of car you could drive if you'd only commit this sin. Think how good this would feel if you'd drink. Think how good this would feel if you'd smoke this. Think how good. The devil always puts the hook inside of something pretty. And he'll put something pretty out there and you'll look at it just like a fish looking at bait. And when you go after it and swallow it, then you realize the hook is on the inside. There's a man one time here a while back at Christmas, and he had a whole bunch of garbage and trash right out of the house, right out of the trash can. And he wondered, how am I going to get rid of it? And they said that he had a bright idea. He put all his trash in a big box, stuff that stunk, right out of the trash can, banana peelings, coffee grounds, baby diapers, everything you can imagine, crammed it down in a big box. He wrapped it up in Christmas wrapping paper, put a big pretty bow on it, and set it out on the front porch. He set out and turned all the lights out in the house and just sat and watched. In just a few minutes, a car come driving down the road. He saw that car hit its brakes, backed up a little bit and stopped. A couple of guys got out and looked around, ran and got that package, put it in their car, headed out down the road. Now, I imagine the surprise they had. You say, well, they were fools. That's right. They sure were. And that's the same kind of fool you are. And when we go out here and we take the devil's bait and do what you... See, you think it looks good. You think I've found a prize. You think I've found something that'll make me happy. I found something that'll make me feel good. But the Bible says sin is deceitful. I'll never forget hearing Brother Billy Kelly tell that story about how that, Billy Kelly, great big preacher, he enjoys eating a lot. Said he'd go down to the hospital, and he went down to visit this old woman, and she was almost in a coma. And he was sitting there, and he was sitting there waiting on her to feel better. And he looked, and there was a bowl of peanuts. And you know I like peanuts, and I guess anybody does. Reached over and grabbed and ate one. And he was pretty good. And he reached over and grabbed another one. He was pretty good. Reached over and grabbed another one. You need to get started on them things. You can't quit. Eat the whole bowl. And in a few minutes, Grandma roused up there a little bit. And she said, hey, preacher. He said, hey, Grandma, it sure is good to see you feeling better. I appreciate you feeling better. He said, but I got to tell you something. He said, ma'am, I'm sorry. But he said, I've sat here and I've eaten your whole bowl of peanuts. And he said, I'm sorry, I'll buy you some more. And she looked back at him and just kind of a little smile on her face. She said, no, that's all right, preacher. She said, I can't eat them since I took my teeth out. I just suck the chocolate off of them. See, they're already in you now. They're already in you. What are you going to do? That's the way sin is this morning. That's the way sin is. Like that little black boy, he's down in the basement. His mama said, Leroy, what are you doing? He said, Ma, I was eating grapes. She said, where are you getting them grapes? He said, off the dog. That's the way sin is. That's the way sin is. That's the way sin is this morning, friend. Sin is deceitful. It's already in you. Look up now. Look up. It ain't that bad. Look up. Sin is deceitful. Hey, I wish some of you would get that sick when you see Melrose Place. I wish you'd get that sick when you see MTV. If your spiritual eyes don't see, that's what sin is. The devil puts it in a pretty picture, and then it gets in you, and the poison's already on the inside. The Bible said you can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, I'm a preacher. And one of the good things about being a preacher is we get to see the other side of sin. You get to see what sin really does. Sin will destroy you. Sin will ruin your life. You see the living room of sin. I see the closets too. You see its front yard. I its backyard to view. You only see sin's bright today. I its tomorrow share. You see deposits to behold. I its withdrawal see. See, we see sin from the other side here at the church and the house of God. Young people today, you have no idea what you're fooling with when you fool around with sin. You're fooling around something that'll mess up your life from now on. You young men, you can go out here and dilly-dally around with sin, pornography, and things like that. You think it's harmless. You think it won't hurt me. You think I'm just curious. I want to find out what's going on. You don't realize how that'll affect your mind years down the road, even after you're married, and will mess up your marriage. Young lady, you go out here and fool around with sin. You think it'll hurt you. We're going to have some 35 and 40-year-old and 50-year-old ladies stand up here and say, don't do it, kids. Don't fool with sin. It'll haunt you till you die. You can be forgiven. You can have it washed away in the blood of Jesus. But the scars of sin will remain on you until the day you die and leave this world. Sin is deceitful. Sin promises much. Sin will promise you a big time. But it'll haunt you and you'll pay for it the rest of your life. Listen. Listen what sin will do. I've been reading a little bit this week of a story of dumb criminals. And dumb criminals to me is just like dumb sinners. We're dumb when we sin. We just ain't thinking. And I heard about this man who went to a house. He was a crook. And he peeked out and he saw this woman was looked like she's getting ready to go on vacation or something. And he said, I'm gonna watch her. And he saw her, she brought out a bag, she brought out a suitcase, she brought out some other stuff. He saw her going around checking all the locks on the house. He's back in the bushes watching. He saw this woman as she put her luggage in her car. He thought, now she's gonna be gone several days or she wouldn't be taking that much luggage. So he watched her and he watched her and she got in the car and drove away. He waited about 30 minutes so she would have plenty of time to get gone. And he comes through the bushes, he sneaks around the back and gets in there and starts messing. And he picks the lock. When he picks that lock, the door opens. He waits just for a second to see if there's any sirens or flashes or a whistle blowing or anything like that. And there's no burglar alarm. And he thought, well, I'm in safe. He gets behind him, closes the door, and he goes into the bedroom. In the bedroom, he takes a pillowcase off there, empties it out, and thinks, man, life is good. And he said, he goes through there, begins to get in her drawers and gets a, rings and jewelry and necklaces and things like that, putting them in there. And he thought, piece of cake. Piece of cake. That's not a bad idea. So he goes in the kitchen and she's gone 3 or 4 days. And he looks in there, starts helping himself, getting him some stuff out to make a sandwich. He thought, I'll just eat while I'm here. I'm not in no hurry. He's loading up valuable silverware, whatever. And he fixes him a sandwich. Decides he'd go in there in the bedroom, watch TV. He goes in there and turns the TV on, sits there and eats his sandwich, and just watches a little TV for a little while. And he watches a little TV for a little while. And first thing you know, he goes to sleep. And he goes sound asleep, laying there out cold with his belly full. The woman who just happened to go to the office before she went on vacation happened to remember some things she forgot. So she turns around, comes back home, opens the door, comes in, and there's the thief laying there on the bed sound asleep. She calls the cops. The cops come in. He's still laying there asleep. They have to wake him up to arrest him. And he's laying there. Listen, you know what? That man was a fool, man. You know what sin will do? Sin, he thought, well, I just come in here to get this stuff and leave. Then I saw the cake. Then I saw the TV. Then I saw the bed. Then I said that. Now that's the way sin is, kids. Sin will always, you hear me? Hey, listen, you can't commit a little part of a sin and then stop. One sin always leads to another sin. Sin, hear me this morning, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you intended to pay. One more time with feeling. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Nobody wants to wind up in prison. Nobody wants to wind up a helpless drug addict in a crack house shooting dope up in the yard. Nobody wants to wind up in an Alcoholics Anonymous place with their body shaking and their neck red. Nobody wants to wind up like that. Sin takes you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. You can't get loose once it's got a hold of you. You can't just shake it off. And sin will cost you far more than you want to pay for it. Sin got Samson. You know what the first thing sin does? Sin blinds. It blinded him. They put out his eyes. What Samson's problem was? He laid his head in that woman's lap She cut his hair, which was a symbol of his power. God took his power and anointing off Samson, and they put his eyes out. First thing sin does is it blinds you. You can't see how good God is to you. You can't get the blessings. That's the first thing sin does is blinds. The second thing sin does is bind. They took Samson and they bound him. And they wrapped him up and he couldn't get loose. I want to tell you something, kids. You start fooling around with sin, first thing sin does, it blinds you. You can't see where you're going. You can't get a blessing. You don't get nothing out of church. Listen, some of you kids here this morning, I noticed a couple, and I'm not going to say who, but I can put my hand on you right now. When everybody was getting happy and shouting in the choir, y'all were just like talking, looking at each other. You know what that is? That's a mighty dangerous thing to do. Listen, if you got high sense in your brain and sin ain't already blinded you, when you see people getting a blessing and shouting in church, you know what you better do? You better say, I'm going to try to get me something out of this. Hey, don't pass it off as just nothing. Don't sit there and just say, well, we'll just talk and cut up till this is over with. I'm telling you what sin does. Sin binds you. Sin blinds you. And after sin blinds and after sin binds, sin grinds. You know what they done? They had Samson grinding at the mill, just working for the devil. Sin will first blind you. Sin will second, it'll bind you. And then sin will have you down there grinding at the devil's meal, doing the work of the devil and honoring him. I heard about in that book, it was talking about this fella who was selling dope. And these two undercover agents went down to the crack house where he's selling crack. And they went down there in plain clothes. And they walked up and said, what's up, man? And he said, not much. You guys looking for a good time tonight? And they said, yeah, you know where we can find some? He said, well, I'm the candy man. He said, I'm the candy man. I can get you the real. They said, how do we know what we're going to get is real? He said, don't you worry about me. He said, everything I sell you, he said, I give you an 8-ball for $200. That's some crack cocaine. He said, I'll give you 8-ball for $200. And he said, whatever else you want, I'll get it for you tonight. And they said, it sounds good. And they said, he said, how many you want? They told him. And he said, that's why they call me the candy man. He said, I got the pure stuff, the good stuff. Everything I give is sweet. And boy, he sold them that drug, that dope. And they said, well, listen, we got to go by the office and make a withdrawal out of our safe. Our money's in the safe and we got to go get it. We don't have that much money on it. They said, sure, man. He said, hop in our car. So they drive the criminal, the drug dealer, around in the car. They went and picked up the dope. And then they made several turns, several left, several right, several left, several right, pulled up right in front of the police station. And the drug dealer in the back said, hey man, this ain't no office, this is a police station. They said, that's exactly right, and we're narcotics agents, and you're busted, and you're going to jail. And he said, oh, foot, man, I'm starting to like you guys. And they had to get out of there, and they got out of there and wound up putting the man in jail. You know what that is? Listen, young people, that's a picture of sin. You can't beat it. You can't get by it. Listen, if God said don't cross that line right there, you cross that line, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. You've got to get it through your head. Sin is bad. It's wicked. We are trying in our generation to think, well, it don't matter. It's different in this situation. But sin is always sin. Sin has always been sin. Sin is deceitful. And sin will get you in more trouble than you're willing to pay to get out of. Listen, man got in a house, was robbing it. The police come over to get him. He run upstairs in the attic. You know what he done? He was looking for a place to hide. He just had like on a t-shirt or something like that and a pair of pants. He was looking for a place to hide, and there wasn't nothing but a great big roll of fiberglass insulation laying there. He crawled in the insulation, man. And was hiding from the cops laying in there like that. That stuff wrapped all around. I can't even stand and think about that. Gosh, I mean, and he's standing there like this, you know, and he's in there. And the cops are coming up the step. And by the time the cops get up there, he is squirming getting out of that insulation. His face, all his skin's red, broke out, and all of that. Listen, you know, that's what sin. That's what sin's like. That's what sin. He said, oh, I'm going to drink a beer. That's, man, you're a nut. You're a nut. You know why? Because God said don't. Every time you cross God's line, there's going to be a price to pay. Sin is deceitful. You kids go out here, you mess around, you think, well, the world says, well, young people are going to have sex. Young people are going to just be safe and all of that. No, no. It is not that simple, young people. It is not that simple. You know what you better do? You better make up your mind you're going to keep yourself pure and stay clean, because there's only one kind of safe sex. Only one kind. That's in the marriage bond, within the marriage vows, in the marriage bed. Anything outside of that is not safe. I don't care how much you supposedly be protected, you are not protected from the judgment of Almighty God. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. I read about a guy who's in jail. They give him 90 days. Now listen to this. They give him 90 days in jail for committing some little, just like a misdemeanor or something. He got in trouble and got sent up. 90 days. He had his choice in there. He could take a course on TV and VCR repair. He could do a soap sculpture of a building. He could do that. Or he could, you know what he chose to do? He plotted his escape. Carefully, carefully, day after day after day after day. 88 days he planned the perfect escape. This is true, man. This is true. And on the 88th day, he made it work, and he made the perfect escape and escaped. And in less than 30 minutes, they caught him. He was arrested and put in jail for something like 18 months. You say, how can anybody be that dumb? I'll ask you the same question. How could you be that dumb as to put that marijuana in your lips? You say, well, that man's crazy. I'd have waited two more days. Well, ain't you got enough sense to figure out that sin you're committing is going to get you in the same trouble? See, these people just get in trouble with the law. You get in trouble with God. You get in trouble with God. You get in trouble with God. And the thing about it is, you can hide it from the law. You can hide it from your parents. You can hide it from a preacher, but you can't hide nothing from God. I mean, listen, when I do wrong, and I know when I do wrong. Lord gets my case, man, He gets me every time. I mean, I get it, boy, when I do wrong. I know I do. I know God punishes me, and I thank Him for it. That means I'm His child. That lets me know that I really belong to Him. I praise Him for chastisement, but it looks like we get it through our head. Sooner or later, you cross God's line, you pay. You pay. Sin is deceitful. Drug, you know, heroin's making a comeback now. Before I close this morning, I want to read you a poem that somebody wrote called Miss Heroin. This is also true of any drug. Give me a little on this one now, Roy. And you listen carefully to it. Young people, before you go out and sin this coming weekend, remember what I'm getting ready to tell you. So now, little man, you're tired of grass, LSD, cocaine, and hash. Someone pretending to be a true friend said, I'll introduce you to Miss Heroin. Well, honey, before you start fooling with me, let me inform you of how it will be. For I will seduce you and make you my slave. I've sent men stronger than you to their grave. You think you could never become a disgrace and end up addicted to a poppy seed waste. So you'll start inhaling me one afternoon. You'll take me in your arms very soon. And once I've entered deep in your veins, the craving will nearly drive you insane. You'll need lots of money, as you have been told. For darling, I'm more expensive than gold. You'll swindle your mother, and just for a buck, you'll turn into something vile and corrupt. You'll mug and you'll steal for my narcotic charm, and feel contentment only when I'm in your arms. The day you realize the monster you've grown, you'll solemnly promise to leave me alone. If you think you've got that mystical knack, then sweetie, you just try getting me off your back. And by the way, let me stop here. This is not just heroin I'm talking about. Any sin. Any sin is addictive, and you just can't just shake it off just like any time you want to. If you can, why don't you? The vomit, the cramps, your gut tied in a knot, the jangling nerves screaming for one more shot. The hot chills, the cold sweats, the withdrawal pains can only be saved by my white little grains. There's no other way. There's no need to look, for deep down inside, you know you're hooked. You'll desperately run to the pusher, and then you'll welcome me back in your arms again. And when you return, just as I foretold, I know you'll give me your body and soul. You'll give up your morals, your conscience, your heart, and you will be mine till death do us part. I want to warn you this morning about sin, folks. Sin will take you further than you thought you was going to go. Sin will keep you a lot longer than you thought you'd stay. And sin will cost you a lot more than you want to pay. Sin is deceitful. It's deceitful. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. No one looking around, please. Come and get us a song. While they're coming, you say, "Preacher, I couldn't go to the altar after a message like that. People might think I was doing something terrible." Hey, it does not matter. I don't care what your sin is. I'm not interested. All I want you to do is get it right with God. Get it right with God. You know what sin will do? It'll harden you. It'll harden you. Make you hard-hearted. That's why some of you can't get a blessing. That's why some of you can't. Sin hardens you. And then the worst thing about it, you shrink away from the Lord instead of going towards the Lord. The Lord's our only hope. Would you come this morning and just lay that sin on the altar? And say, "God, by your grace, I don't want it to destroy my life." It'll get you. I promise you, it'll get you. That's right. Appreciate these young men, teenage boys, just falling in this altar this morning. Hey, nobody knows the battle these boys are fighting. Sin's out there everywhere they look. Everywhere they look, sin's hitting them in the face. I feel a heavy burden for somebody here this morning with sin. I almost don't want to go to Maryland tomorrow. I'm afraid of what might happen while I'm gone. I'd hate to hear about one of our young people being killed or something terrible happening. I really would. Sin will destroy you, kids. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Sin will eventually take you to hell. It'll destroy you. Ain't you tired of being miserable? You say, "Preacher, you're absolutely right. It's got a hold on me. I can't let go. I can't quit." No, you can't by yourself. But with the Lord's help, you can. With the Lord's help. With God's help, you can. It may be a struggle, I know that. But God will help you. Father, pray that you'd touch somebody's heart this morning. Thank you for these already on the altar. Help these young people to be warned about the deceitfulness of sin. Amen. We're going to sing this morning.